Got a subject on my mind that has been on there for a while. And I grew up hearing about it. And still don't know if I fully understand it. And that's what it means to be in the Spirit. And we first find out and read about the Spirit in the second chapter of the first book of Genesis. It said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want you to know that the Spirit of God has always been just as old as God is. And I don't know if I understand everything about the Spirit. I know I don't. And if any of y'all have figured it out, please, I want you to tell me. But it's a mystery. The Spirit of God is truly a mystery. The Spirit of God is recorded as coming upon men, even in the Old Testament. Isaiah spoke about, in a prophetic way, about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of God moves people to do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. The Spirit of God dwells with us and in us. And the Spirit comes from a word meaning, thank you, brother, meaning pneuma or breath. It's kind of where you kids, you can remember this, it's where we get anything that has to do with, has the word pneuma in it, means it has to do with your lungs, about breathing. Brother Walter can tell you all about it. Adam had the breath of God breathed in his nostrils, and he became a living soul. That means that Adam was dead. He had no life in him. But when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he began to live. God did the breathing. And after that, Adam began to breathe because God breathed the very breath of life into him. It's no different with us. Life, natural life, continues to be propagated from our father Adam. That means it's continued on and on and on and on and on. But my friends, being born of the Spirit is something totally different than being born of the flesh. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about that, didn't he? He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus thought, I'm kind of big to go back into my mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews? A very intelligent, wise man in a place that, or among a people that really knew something about God and how He works. And you don't understand these things, Nicodemus? How can you, being so intelligent, not understand what I'm trying to tell you? He said, there's no way that you can understand spiritual things if you don't understand natural things. He said, you must be born again. Now, what does that mean? That means being born by the Spirit. The second birth. Maybe it's the first birth. I don't know. John apparently was born of the Spirit before he was born of a woman. Before he was naturally born and breathing air, he was born of the Spirit of God. But he said, Nicodemus, do you not understand that what I'm trying to tell you about, it's like the wind, pneuma. It's like the wind, breath of God. It blows and you don't know where it comes from. And it blows and you don't know where it's going. But you can see the effects of it. Just like we've seen on the TV where Katrina, Rita, all those things, a mighty, powerful wind blows down things, destroys some things. My friends, I want you to know, just as a side note, that when the Spirit of God is breathed into your heart, into your nostrils, the breath of that spiritual life, it destroys some things in you. It should. It should. Or it at least gives you the ability to destroy them on your own. Or with its help. Put you in a position where you can do that. But friends, I want you to know that sometimes the wind blows hard and with a lot of power. Sometimes the wind blows and it's just a little trickle like this. You can see just a few leaves on a tree just barely moving. My friends, you can't see the wind. But you can see the effects of it, friends. And when there's a few of those leaves blowing, my friends, you know that there's a wind blowing. Because you see the effects of it. My friends, I think in our churches we need to see the leaves moving a little bit. I believe we need to see the effects of the Spirit. And we don't need to quench the Spirit. And we don't need to grieve the Spirit. We do not need to quench the Spirit. Now, what do I mean by quenching the Spirit? I'm thirsty. I quenched my thirst. I put it out. I made my thirst go away. Friends, we don't need to quench the Spirit. That means when we have a fit. I don't know, some of you older folks here and maybe some of the young ones. Have you ever had a feeling in your heart, a deep desire to do something? To call someone on the phone to see how they're doing, to go by their home and check up on them, to give them $10 or whatever it was, to speak to them when you felt that they needed a hand, when they felt bad. But friends, I'm telling you that when the Spirit moves you and you do that kind of thing, the leaves begin to shake and you begin to feel the effects of the wind and it gets spread around. The Spirit's like the wind. You can't see where it comes from. What put that inside of your heart to do? The Spirit did. Can we quench the Spirit? Most certainly. We can quench the Spirit when we feel like somebody may get on to me about this, but we quench the Spirit when we're in a worship service and we feel like shouting and we don't. I do it. You do it. Everybody does it. Friends, I'm telling you that we've been commanded to quench not the Spirit in the Scriptures. I'm telling you that when something comes upon you and you feel like that you need to talk to somebody or you need to go to somebody or you need to do something for somebody, that you'll get a blessing in doing it. And the wind blows. And you see the leaves shake. You see the effects of the Spirit. My friends, when you, that very breath that comes upon us, now I want you to know that you, I think that it would have been a mighty great place in the Scriptures, in John chapter 3, I believe, chapter 3, yeah, John chapter 3, I believe it would have been a wonderful place for Jesus to tell Nicodemus how to get born of the Spirit. But he didn't. He didn't tell him how to do it. He didn't give him some instructions on how to receive the Spirit of his own. He said, if you're born naturally, then you got born of a woman. And he also said that if you're born of the Spirit, you got born from something else. You got born of God is what you got born from. Born of the Spirit. My friends, I didn't have anybody. I'm glad that I have the parents that I have. But I didn't choose those parents. I just am. Friends, I want you to understand that when we get born of the Spirit of God, He breathes the breath of life, pneuma, that very breath of God into my heart so that I can now become qualified, like John said, to become a son of God. I'm qualified. I'm exemplified as being a child of the King when that breath blows and I begin to live. Now, you can't be led of the Spirit if you're not born of the Spirit. That's a very fundamental thing for us to remember. You can't perform the acts or works of the Spirit if He's not leading you. It's a funny thing about being led. I've seen some horses and some mules that you could lead and they just went right on. I've seen some that you had to pull and get two or three people to try to pull and get them to go somewhere that they didn't go. Which kind of horse are you? Which kind of horse am I? Am I a willing follower of the Spirit? Or do I grieve at the Spirit? And do I frustrate the Spirit like that and quench the Spirit? Am I the one that keeps on wanting to just resist the Spirit all the time? Or am I a willing follower of the Spirit? These are questions that I grapple with all the time. I want you to understand that I'm not perfect. I hope you know that. I trust you know that. I'm not perfect. And I need to realize that. Because when I realize that I'm not perfect, I can see that and know that there's someone that lives in that immortal, upper, and better kingdom that is. And He can see around the corner where I can just see to it. Sometimes the Spirit, my friend, leads people to do extraordinary things. Usually in the Scripture, when you find that a man had the Spirit of God upon him, he was doing extraordinary things. I want you to know, too, that when Jesus Christ came and He was manifested in the flesh in this earth, He came to a man named John the Baptist. And John baptized him and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove out of heaven and it lighted on his shoulder. And there came a voice out of heaven and it said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Spirit of God came and I believe it was a real dove. The Spirit in the bodily form of a dove, and it rested upon his shoulder, and so much impact that had on John, and the Spirit revealed it to him, and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Who told him that it was the Lamb of God? The Spirit told him it was the Lamb of God. And so we see that the Spirit happens in extraordinary, comes in extraordinary ways in extraordinary times. We can see the Spirit of God on many, many men. Saul, as he was yet breathing out threatenings against the church and the people, he came and he was on the road and he had permission from the governor to bind men and put them into prison and yea, even to death. And so this man Saul was walking down the road that goes to a place called Damascus. And he said, in his recount to King Agrippa, he said, "Oh, King Agrippa," he said, "I saw a great light. And it struck me down to the ground." And he said, "And I heard a voice from heaven. And it said, Saul, oh Saul, why persecutest thou me?" My friends, I want you to know something very important about this man's conversion. something very crucial about this man's conversion. If you do just a little bit of study, you'll find out that the people that were round about him and that were his friends that were accompanying him to Damascus, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. They saw the light shining around Saul, but they did not hear the voice. Why is that? It's because God wasn't talking to them. God was talking to Saul. And God called him for a specific purpose, my friends. And it was an extraordinary conversion. Is there any different spirit in you than was in the Apostle Paul? Did it come from somebody else? Is it any the spirit that dwells within you, is it any less than was in the Apostle Paul? No. You've got the same spirit from the same source in you that came and was breathed into the Apostle Paul. The very same thing. You know, people, and the Apostle Paul had problems just like you and I have problems. He had a warfare going on in himself just like you and I have a warfare. But friends, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul had the same spirit in him that you have dwelling in you. The Apostle Paul did some great and mighty things, didn't he? Do you think you're capable of doing those something like those great and mighty things? Sometimes I feel so strong in the Lord that I feel like I am able to, by His grace and by the Spirit, do some great and mighty things. And then sometimes I have a weak voice. Sometimes. And I don't feel worthy to even unloose his shoes. Can you see the problem that we have? We've got that kind of problem. But my friends, the Spirit not only comes upon men in extraordinary ways, it does extraordinary things to us. It makes us alive. We're quickened. When you come, you little ones, and you old ones too, when you come to the word quickened in the Bible, it means make alive. If you've ever heard your mama or grandma say something when she was cutting your fingernails and she grabbed a little bit of that skin down there and it made you jump back and she said, "Oh, I must have got in the quick." What does that mean? That means she got into something that was alive. She got into something that was alive, my friends, and you got to be alive because God breathed the breath of life into you. He breathed the breath of life into you. And sometimes you hurt. Sometimes it gets into quick. Stephen. Being stoned by people that were supposedly godly. What would you do if you were stoned? Now that's when they actually took stones about that big or maybe bigger, maybe smaller, and they threw them at you until you did not have any more life. I mean, you stop breathing and you're dead. This man Stephen, being hit by these stones, in the spirit, was able to look up into heaven itself and see Jesus Christ on the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. And Stephen said, "What would I be saying if people were trying to kill me by throwing rocks at me? Would I be trying to run? Would I be trying to plead with them to stop?" No, my friend, the Spirit enabled Stephen to look up into the heavenly glory and see Jesus there. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Almost the same words that Jesus used when they were crucifying him. The Spirit enables us to do extraordinary things. I'm not talking just about things that happened 2,000 years ago. I'm not talking about just reading some things that are hard to understand. I'm not just talking about some things that happen that don't have any meaning to our life. I'm talking about things that are real. I'm talking about things that can happen to you today and tomorrow and next week and next year. But there's one thing about it. Apostle Paul told him, said, if you're born of the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. That's pretty much the only qualification that I can find for doing extraordinary things. Now you wiser brethren can fix me up on that later on. But there's no question about it. It's not really a suggestion that we walk in the Spirit if we've been born of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul tells them, if you've been born of the Spirit, and I'm not going to ask to see a show of hands, but how many of you have been born of the Spirit? He said, if you've been born of the Spirit, and you know who you are, he said, walk in the Spirit. Walk in. He doesn't really give any alternatives. He doesn't really leave it open for discussion. If we've been born of the Spirit, he just tells us to walk in the Spirit. Now, I can choose to walk out of this building and into the road. And maybe get hit by a truck, maybe not. The Apostle Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. Let me see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we're in a position now that we not only have natural life, we're breathing naturally, but the Apostle Paul told them at Athens on Mars Hill, he said, the unknown God that I declare unto you, it's in Him that we live and move and breathe and have our very being. Breathe, live, move in Him. It's not just, it's not that kind of breath. We have to have that though, don't we? And it's bad when we are out of breath, isn't it? And you want to breathe so much. You ever been underwater for a long time and you just couldn't wait to get up on top of the water when you kids have been swimming? I used to see how long I could stay under the water. I used to get pretty good at it. I could stay under the water a long time. But then it just seemed like I was almost going to black out until I got to the top of the pool. And when I did, I just came up with a big gasp of air. I think it's kind of like that with us, too. When we don't walk in the Spirit, and kind of get deprived of air for a while. And then we come to the place that we realize we're suffocating to death. And then we come up for air and we get a big gulp of it, don't we? I do. I don't know about y'all. I really do come up for a big gulp of the Spirit every now and then. But you know, it's best if we don't see how long we can go without breathing that kind of air. It's really best. It really is. The Apostle Paul told them, Now that you've been breathed and you're alive both ways, you're alive naturally and you're alive spiritually, you've got some abilities now. You've got some abilities. Let's see. First Corinthians chapter 2 and 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Well, that tells me that we've had a special revelation of some things. That tells, you know, a revelation is just something revealed. That means opened. If this book was closed, and it is, and I opened the book, the words would be revealed. Something that's good for me. Maybe something that's bad. God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Have you ever had any deep thoughts about God? Have you ever had any deep thoughts about your relationship to Him? That didn't come because you were just breathing air naturally. That came because you've been born of the Spirit. And you've been breathing that spiritual pneuma, that spiritual air, the breath of God. Now, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? What he's saying is, a man knows what's in himself and what he's capable of, both good and bad, naturally. Now, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That tells me that man understands about how man reacts to other men. I understand how I react to you. You understand how you react to your friends at school. You understand how they react to you. My friends, the only way that we can understand anything about how we react to God and how He reacts to us, yes, is by the Spirit. That's the only way. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. I want to talk about this for a minute. Just as I'm alive, naturally, I know that there are good things that I can eat. Let me say good things that are good for me and things that are bad for me. In the same way, we can make and have the ability to make decisions about things that go on in our relationship to God and things that are go on in our relationship to men by the Spirit. Now, natural people aren't able to discern or examine in order to make a choice the things of God unless they're born of the Spirit of God. How can I put this easier? I couldn't wear a red shirt tonight because I don't have one. You understand? Oh, I have a red shirt, but it's not fitting to wear to church. I couldn't wear a green tie because I don't have one. You can't understand spiritual things unless you've got it in the... unless the Spirit gave it to you. You understand that? Is that easy enough? Sometimes I give things that I don't know whether I'm coming across. Y'all got to help me out. You got to tell me, you know, whether I'm making sense, because sometimes I don't even make sense to myself. So the only way that we can understand spiritual things is if we've been born of the Spirit. And when we've been born of the Spirit, we have the ability to examine things in our life. We might, let's just take abortion. And I'm going to say it, we're in Memphis, it don't matter where I'm at, I'm still going to say it. Gay marriage. Some people make long and lengthy discourses about why they think it's good for people to marry of the same sex, and they make long discourses trying to justify why someone ought to be able to have the right to choose to kill their child. But they're just comparing natural things to natural. They're not. And I'm not saying that they're not born of the Spirit, even. Y'all listen to me, because I'm going to say some things that, you know, might raise your eyebrows a little bit. People, one of the Satan's most favorite tools, listen to me now, one of Satan's favorite tools to use is a man that's born of the Spirit of God that doesn't use his ability to discern spiritual things. You get it? You understand that? Because what better work for him to do than have somebody down here that professes to be a follower of Christ but acts in a manner totally opposite to him? It kind of messes up the testimony, doesn't it? Kind of messes up the testimony. Spiritual discernment. If you got it, use it. Use that mind that you've got. Friends, I'm fully persuaded that people nowadays, if they've been born of the Spirit of God, they know the truth. They know whether something's right or whether something's wrong if they've been born of the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know how much they're using their spiritual abilities and spiritual discernment, but they have the ability. They have the ability. Now, I don't know how you like that or not. The Apostle Paul says that a natural man can't discern spiritual things, but a spiritual minded man can discern both spiritual and natural things. That means you got a leg up on them. You young men, I'm going to talk to y'all for a minute because I was one. I still am one. I feel like I'm kind of young. There's some things that y'all are going to come be confronted with in your life, and you young ladies can listen to, and you older folks can listen to, because I don't think you're immune to any problems that you might encounter in life. But y'all may come in contact with some things in college that are going to come upon your plate, and you're going to have to make a decision about something. You're going to have to make a decision as to whether this would be honoring to God or not. And that ought to be your question to yourself. Now, you have a choice. You've been born of the Spirit of God. You can go and use your spiritual discernment to walk down the path that God would be pleased with, or you can choose to go down that old natural man's path, the one that the devil would have you go down. That would be dishonoring to God. You young ladies, I'm sure some of y'all may be dating. And young men too, you, all of y'all, I should have told y'all to listen. Friends, I want you, because this is close to me. It's near and dear to my heart. I mean, I've got a daughter. She's not dating yet, but she's 12. She won't be dating for a long time. But I want y'all to understand the things that we have inside of our body and inside of our brain are very powerful as far as chemicals. I know about those. They're very powerful. And they can cause you to do some things that you're going to regret. Possibly. And I want you to understand that if you have been born of the Spirit of God, you now have the ability to make the right choice. You got that ability. And God is pleased when you use your spiritual discernment to make it. That he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Real quick, I want to read something to you. I'm lost in the deep. Here it is. I'm glad I got those tabs in my Bible. I would never find anything. Now I want you to understand that these are things, well, first let me read this. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, what we talked about earlier, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Galatia, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's just as simple as it gets, folks. That's as simple as it gets. If you play with the stump, you're going to sink. That's just simple. And it's real. If you play with the stump, you're going to sink. But what do you do if you see a stump? You run the other way fast. That's walking in the Spirit. He said, flee youthful lust. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Many times, it says in the Scriptures that we are to run away from things
that are not godly. Many times we should run away from things that this natural mind and this natural body desire because it's contrary to godliness.
Now let's read this. For the flesh lusteth after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Any of y'all ever been dirty? That's the work of the flesh. I'm not going to personally ask you about some of these. Lasciviousness, idolatry. You ever worship anything? At one time, I worshiped football and making myself strong. Now, I don't know that I put it above God now, but it was one thing that probably hampered my walk with the Lord. If it hampers or prevents you from walking with the Lord, that's idolatry. It's not that you have built an image up here like I'm going to worship this vase here. That is a idolatry, but it's not only that. It could be, and it is, anything that keeps me from walking with the Lord. And these are all works of the flesh now. Witchcraft. I've never chanted any witchcraft things, but that apparently is becoming more and more available. How many of y'all have the Disney Channel? How many of y'all have, I've noticed this lately. How many shows are coming on TV about witches? And it seems harmless enough on the surface, doesn't it? And I don't watch them. I won't let my kids watch. And they know it. That they don't even ask to. They don't care anything about it. And I don't know how y'all feel about Harry Potter, but it glorifies witchcraft. I mean, when you really get down and look at the essence of what it's trying to do, and if somebody wants to read a fantasy book, you know, go ahead, as long as you can understand that it's not truth. And if you just do it, I'd stay away from it though, if I was you. Flee youthful lust. And the way that they ease it on you is because Harry Potter's a nice, he's a likable character, isn't he? And so are the same characters in all these, Bewitched and all this other thing. But what they're doing is they're desensitizing you to witchcraft. That's exactly what they're doing. You see, the devil, y'all, I think I said this last time when I was here, the devil doesn't bust in the front door of the church, with a red horns and a cape and a pitchfork and screaming loud at y'all. What does he do? He sneaks in the back door and he sits on the back pew and then he keeps on coming up front and he disguises himself as something else. And then finally, and he gets to know you and he gets you the way you're comfortable with him. Just a little bit at a time. And a little bit farther on down the line, he just reveals himself a little bit more wicked than he did the day before. And it's not so big of a change, so you're going to take it. How did I get off on this? Y'all understand the point? Variance. Hatred. Variance. Emulation. Any of y'all ever been hated or said you hate something or somebody? Work of the flesh. Lord, we got plenty of divisions, and I'm talking about the church now. What is that? That's the work of the flesh. It's the work of the flesh.
Division.
Division among people that believe the same thing.
It's a work of the flesh.
Now, how much time do you want me to take? Because I can preach all night. I said I was just going to read this, but I didn't. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, simulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Y'all know what a heresy is, though. A heresy is an untruth or a lie that you tell for truth that you know is not. It's trying to tell a lie and get somebody to believe it in its purest form. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And these are the things that I really wanted to get to. The things that accompany salvation. These are things that you are now become qualified to bear in your life. But the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to close. Apple trees, what do they bear? Apples. Fig trees, what do they bear? Grapevines, what do they bear? Grapes. The Spirit, what does it bear? The Spirit bears a lot of different kind of fruit. It bears love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I wanted to start there. I will tell you this. Temperance. It's a hard thing to understand. I didn't really understand it, and I don't know if I fully understand it now. But I can tell you, when I was working on the farm, our boss wanted me to, when we buy new plows, he would tell me to get the welder out. You know those cultivator plows, that they look like this, you know, and they put them on. And he'd tell me, I want you to lay a bead of weld down along the bottom edge of that plow. And I thought, the old man's crazy. It ain't even broke. And I would lay a bead of weld down on those things, and I asked him one day, I said, "Boss man, why do you want us to do that?" He said, "It tempers the plow. It makes it stronger. It makes it last longer. So I don't have to buy plows more than one time a year." Temperance. What is it? It's something that makes you stronger. And what makes you stronger as you walk with Christ in the Spirit? Self-control. That's what makes you stronger, is self-control.